1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's stand to read God's word tonight. Pray for our friend Jim Donahue. He's sick. God has certainly raised him up. First Corinthians chapter 11, one verse, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, you'd help us to understand the word of God. And Lord, that you'd work in our lives tonight. Help us to examine what we're doing that would be more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we examine others, usually 99.9% of the time, we justify ourselves. When we examine others, 99.999% of the time, it's we will justify ourselves. Well, he does it, and I'm better than he is. But when a man examines himself, or we examine ourselves, we're more likely to justify others and to give them a break and to show mercy and say, you know what, boy, they're doing a lot better than I'm doing. And I pray to God that you'd bless them. An evangelist was holding a, I've told this before, but I thought this is good. He's an evangelist was holding evangelistic meetings down in southern Wyoming. And this is a true story. It was told to me. The last night, closing the meeting, the preacher got up and said something like this: folks, before we give the love offering to evangelists, the deacons and I have something to say. So the evangelist said, I just took my seat. And he said, the preacher called out a lady's name and asked the deacons to escort her to the front of the church. One of the deacons brought a chair and sat her down in it, and he began to tell all the gossiping she was been doing within the ranks of church members and outside the church membership. Whew, what a meeting, huh? Boy, that'll bless your love offering, amen. He proceeded to pull out of his pulpit a great big magic marker, bent down, and wrote a great big black G on her forehead, and said, I have done as the Lord has commanded. Mark them that cause division among brethren, and all them are to avoid them. Well, glory! G-G! How many like to have been there? Come on! How many like to be there? Yeah. I like to have been there. I like to have been a little mouse in the corner. I don't want to be the preacher of that thing, amen. Man, you know, imagine, you know. And according to rumors, she got things right and got on with life. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're not willing enough to. Paul the Apostle, he named people all the time. I've been, in my own study, I've been studying about Paul the Apostle, and where he said, I've spent myself. And that kind of alerted me, and for about a week I've been working on that. And he's talking about the church at Corinth. Paul the Apostle went to the church at Corinth to found the church. And then he heard some things, bad things going on. He took a flying trip out back to Corinth and straightened a lot of things out. I mean, to rip their lips off. In fact, he wrote a letter, and we never did see that letter. It's lost. So things are not good to keep around. Amen. Because Paul the Apostle, he was no sissy man. He'd tell you straight out. He'd call you by name, and just that man right there. And so on his third journey, he's coming back. And I was studying that. On his third journey, he's coming back. And he says, you better get your stuff together, because I'm coming back. And you can have me as a gentleman that I'm going to come, or you can have me as a judge when I come back. I'm going to straighten this thing out, because God has made me the pastor of this church. And God has given me authority as an apostle. And I'm going to straighten some things out. You are not doing right. And he's talking about all kinds of immorality. He's talking about all kinds of fighting against the pastor, and they try to grill Paul the apostle. And this one guy, he tried to put Paul out. And Paul says, you ain't going to do that. I am an apostle. There's a difference between apostles and pastors. You all understand that. The apostles wrote the word of God. And the apostles walked on the street and their shadow fell on sick people. And the sick people got up and they were healed. Boy, that's power, amen. One time I was preaching up here and I said, man, I've taken some of these stupid pills. I could heal you by just shaking your hand, amen. I was pretty sick a while back and a few years ago. Well, the scripture carefully teaches us that God has set up leaders in the local church for what? To protect the members of the church. Protect them from all kinds of error. The protector, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, is the pastor. The shepherd, the superintendent, the presbyteros, or the bishop, or the ruler of the assembly. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This is a very serious subject. It's very serious. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them that have rule over you. This is the generation that want nobody ruling over them. They'll do what they want. We see it in the presidency where they do things that are not, that was not the way it was supposed to be, but they just go ahead and do it anyway. They want no rulers over them. They want to be the ruler. And most of us are very frustrated about that. But the Bible says here, remember them that rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And sometimes a pastor will just say a few things. He doesn't want to hurt you, but he wants to get you to do right. And he'll hint, and he'll suggest. And finally, you have to do like Paul said, I'm coming, I'm coming. Third time he said, I'm coming, and I'm going to come, I'm going to set this thing straight. Here Paul speaking to pastors. He said, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed thereto unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, Paul is speaking to pastors. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You don't do this job for gain. You don't do this job for money. I've seen that the other day at our superintendent schools. Miss Lacey, what's her last name?
Last name is Lacey.
Okay. She has $136,000 a year for her job. That's about what you get paid for substituting. $136,000, and that's just her salary. That's not all the kudos and everything else going. Good for her. Amen. I'm happy for her. Ministry has never been one of riches. We don't want it for riches. We want to get it done. We want to get the work done, and we want to serve the Lord. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. I do a lot of that, amen. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. 1 Timothy 5, 20, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. You know that happens at your home. You tell your child not to do something, they do something, and you take a little Board of Education, their seat of learning, and all the other guys, they stand to attention and act like they didn't do it. Amen. Again, Paul speaking to pastors. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Get the job done. It's our responsibility. So the Bible says, let a man examine First of all, I think God says for us to examine our company, who we run with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion fool shall be destroyed. Careful who you're walking with. Be careful who you're taking time with. I want to ask you, I want you to ask yourself a question. When you are with those who would draw you away from the house of God, does that please God? I know there are a lot of Super Bowl parties tonight. God bless you, folk. God bless you. I know your team wasn't in it, but anyway. God, that was supposed to be funny. That was a tongue-in-cheek deal, you know. But you're here tonight. I know there's a lot of parties going on in Great Falls. All over the country there's parties going on. And you're here in church. The question is, did your friends draw you away from things that would not be pleasing to God? I think you ought to examine yourself about those who you keep in contact with. I want you to think when you're among your so-called friends, do they inspire you to be faithful? Do they inspire you to give? Do they inspire you to love more? Do they inspire you to care more? Do they inspire you more concern for the loss of others? Or don't they? Or do they inspire you to get, you need your rest? Or you deserve your this entertainment, or you deserve more enjoyment. There's out there, people like that out there, aren't they? Huh. Ah, you going to church tonight? Come on. Man, it's Super Bowl Sunday. No, it's Super Chili Bowl Sunday. I can tell some of you read my deal. All right. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I am not against sports. Hey, there's no way. I love sports. Until they get in conflict with my church going. They get in conflict for, well, we didn't make it tonight because we got a baseball game. And tell me how old your kid. He's 5. And explain to me how important it is for a 5-year-old to be on a baseball team that meets on Wednesday night. And you can't come to Wednesday night church. Here's the preaching of the Word of God. It is a call to some. How many got a constitution in the Heritage Baptist Church last week? How many do not have one? You ought to read some of them. Might be, how many read theirs? It's kind of interesting stuff in there, isn't it? Yeah. You're supposed to be faithful to all called assemblies of Heritage Baptist Church. I would be very careful that I let my coach know that, you know what, Johnny is not going to play on Sunday, and he's not going to play on Wednesday night. We have church. I had a friend of mine who went to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, never played a lick of football until he came to college. He became a starting football player. In fact, I think he was more healthy than the kids that played as little kids on up. Just saying. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Yes, it's in there. I just don't say that. It's in your Bible. As a manner, some has been exhorting one another so much more as you see the approaching. Paul set the record straight to the church at Philippi. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Is our country crooked? Is it perverse? Just asking. Paul wrote to the church and he said, listen, Church of Philippi, you're supposed to shine. You're supposed to shine. You are to be harmless and blameless, the sons of God. You're to shine as lights in the world. An old preacher told me when he went in the ministry over 33 years ago, son, remember, you can only take people as far as they'll let you take them. That was kind of, I just couldn't believe that as a young pastor. But as a pastor of over 45 years, let me tell you something. You can take people as long as they want to go with you and as far as they want to go with you. First Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. That's what he's talking about in church. Secondly, the Bible says we ought to examine our habits. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, examine our thoughts. Psalm 10:4. Amen. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 10:4 on that, good buddy. Proverbs 23:7a. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We ought to examine our affections. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Romans chapter examine your affections. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. I have life and peace when something happens in my life and I examine my affections in my life and I realize, you know what? I don't need that. I don't need that. That's not going to keep me going for God. You know what? It's important that we examine ourselves. We examine our things of who we really need and what we really, you know, the difference between needs and wants. You really need that? You really want that? You have to have that? We always ask our kids that. You have to have that? Oh, yeah, I need them $250,000 tennis shoes. They'll make me run as fast as a locomotive, jump high buildings with a single bounce. You know? Well, I was looking out there. I don't see anybody wore kids when you're growing up. Anyway, Jim, you wear kids? Them red ones with the white dots on the side? Yeah, I figured that. Anybody else wear kids? The old timers in the back, amen. Not Pam, she's a California girl, man. She wore her waffle stomples, stoppers, amen. And all of that, we need to examine our motives. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. So eat or drink, anything you do. Is that important? Yeah, absolutely. It's very important. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. The clock of life is round but once, and no man has the power to tell just when those hands will stop. At late or early. To lose one's health is sad indeed. To lose one's soul, to lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Yesterday is yours no longer. Tomorrow may never be yours. Today is yours, and in living the present way may stretch forth to things that are before. Psalm 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards me? Well, I hope to God that we realize the great responsibility God gives us. Many times I've taught that when I get up early and read my Bible. You come to my house, I got a set schedule. First thing I do, I walk to the sink and drink a great big 24-ounce deal of water. And I take 2 pills. I turn on my coffee machine. Slowest stinking thing you ever seen. I want coffee now. I just figured out I can turn that thing on. It'll start up when it's supposed to start up. That's a pretty good deal. Then I get I think it's called Brevita Bar. My doctor said that's good to eat. And cinnamon and apple or something like that. And then I go sit at my desk, turn on my computer, and get it going. Then I go back and start the coffee again. And then I go back to my desk, and the coffee stops, and I go back and put another deal in there and get it going again. And I sit down and start reading the Bible. But every once in a while, dumb, stupid head, I look at the newspaper. I say, I wonder if anybody died. I want to know what's going on in town. And before you know it, my alarm clock is going off. Honey! Yeah. And you know what I just did? I lost it because there is no way that I'm going to do what I want to do when my alarm clock goes off, because that is total dependence. May I encourage you to not lose tomorrow? Those lessons have been taught to me. Now I don't go right to it. Amen. And that's, you just got to do it, or you're not going to get it. And Satan has his way. I think he pinches her. Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing. You reading the paper? Nothing. You open the Bible? So may I encourage you, by my stupidity, that you get to your book as soon as you can. Read as much as you can. Pray as much as you can. Get up early. And for some of you parents, the only way you can do that is when they take a nap. I know that's the time we clean up, isn't it? Get everything all ready. Isn't that amazing? It takes you 3 hours. It takes them 3 seconds. Stinking kids. Tear the place apart. Well, just say, my house is lived in. If you came over for a housing inspection, you need to give me a week. I left tonight. Man, I told Marcia, I said, hope nobody comes to my house tonight, amen. I got the pot and pan to wash, amen. So, amen. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Got an answer for that? My life. Just me. When things happen, I tell the Lord, Lord, you know my frame. But dust. I'm a mess. You gotta help me through this thing. Whew! I'm sure God in heaven just scratches his head and shakes his head and looks over the Lord and said, one of ours, huh? And don't look at me like that. You take off your phylactery headdress and say, yeah, I'm like that. I got some problems in my life too. I'm just trying to be open with you, let you know that there's a lot of things going on in your life. And what should I do for the Lord to thank Him for all the benefits? I'll tell you what. Tell Him you love Him. Tell Him you're so thrilled that He allows you to do things that He does. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray that You would make us more like You. Forgive us where we've failed You. Oh God, help us every day to examine ourselves. Examine whether our motive and examine whether what we're doing, who we're with. Our Lord, just examine these things that we may live more like You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the